Appreciate the songs, that special song, The Lighthouse. And that gives us clarity. If you're out in the ocean and you're near the rocks, they're throwing you, you want something that's showing you the way. And so we have the lighthouse. And what does it say? The song say? Jesus is that lighthouse. I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for everyone that's here today. And desire that you'd pray for us and with us. The song that we sang also said, press the battle against the wrong. You know, a lot of the things that's happening today, a lot of wrong is the perception. The world is changing the perception of wrong. Yeah. Yeah. So the things that were once very clearly wrong, nowadays, they're saying that it's not so wrong. And so we've got to be careful as men and women of God that wrong is still wrong. Sin is still sin. It's not going to change. What the Bible says is wrong is still wrong. May the Lord help us that we could get to the place of understanding that. And when we see wrong, that we're not bashful to call it what it is. All right? And we're going to talk a little bit about that. But if we were going to put a title on this, is the command to change. I want to talk about change today. Let's go to Romans, the 12th chapter, and let's start at the first verse. Romans 12:1. Yes, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Very familiar text of Scripture here. We've preached on it on several occasions, but we feel like the Lord wants us to address it again today. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. To present yourself holy to God, completely, Lord, I'm yours, you can do with me whatever you want to do with me, that's reasonable. And the reason it's reasonable is because that's what Jesus did for you and me. He gave up everything that he had, everything that he was, and he came down here to give himself to you and to me, all right? And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So what we want to talk about today, be ye transformed. So in other words, it says, be not conformed to this world. So we say in our mind, what happens is that we can start out wanting to make a transformation in our own selves and our own character, but it seems like there is so much that's coming in on every side that the world is pressing in so hard that if we're not careful as people of God, we will conform to the world. What do we do? Around the world, we're around the world probably 90% of the time we come to church, and if we're here an hour and a half, a lot of folks think that's too long. So we come to service, and maybe we're in a church service where we can actually, where the Lord gives us clarity and understanding, and He presents to us what He wants, what His mind is. Now, I'm not saying that this is the only time that you get your spiritual food. Of course, you're doing it on a daily basis. But we're here in a church service for maybe an hour, hour and a half. And during the week, we're in a church service, what, three hours a week? But we go to work, we're there 8 hours a day if we don't work any overtime. And we're around the pressures of life. And if we're not careful, what will happen is the things that are coming and pressing in will conform us to the ways of the world rather than us being transformed away from that. So what the Lord wants you and I to understand, what He wants us to know, is that we're going to have to press, we're going to have to fight against the ways of the world. I thought about it like this. You remember when President Obama, the first term, when he came, what did he come in here talking about? He talked about change, right? We're going to go in here in Washington and we're going to change Washington. All right? And we were all, everybody was all, I'm saying the America was all excited about it. He'd go to other countries and hundreds of thousands of people would come out to hear him speak. And he's speaking on change and on hope that there is something better. He's going to get in there and he's going to make it happen. Well, he got in there. Did he make it happen, y'all? No. No. He maybe changed some things. Maybe altered a few things and maybe made a few adjustments. But we realize that there is something greater that's working against that man. Now, I believe with all of my heart that there are some people that would make changes if they had the ability to make the changes, right? But we find out that these things are much more difficult, and there is a greater pressure that is coming to try to get you to conform to what this political realm is talking about. And I know that that's the politics, and I know that's something, but it brings out a point here that this man was supposed to go in here and make all these adjustments and all these changes for the better. And what we find out is that he's conformed in many of these instances, conformed to what somebody else has done. And as he goes forward, what we realize is that we need to be praying for that man. If he's going to make some adjustments and some changes, he's not going to be able to make it on his own. God is going to have to do it for him. And he's going to have to call on the Lord, and it's going to be because of the prayers of the saints that we are praying for those that have rule over us. And in the same way, what we decide in our mind, whether it's a person that is saved, whether it's a person that's unsaved, there are some things about our lives, our circumstances, our situations in life that we want to make adjustments, don't we? And we decide in our mind that we're going to get in here and we have all this hope and we have all of this great desire to make these adjustments in our lives. And we find out that when we get into the situation, the pressure of life begins to try to conform us to whatever the situation is, and we conform to the situation rather than being transformed out of it. And so what the Lord wants you and me to know and understand is the Lord can get us out of this, but it's not going to be us that, it's not going to be us that do it. It's the Lord that does it. He says, be ye transformed. Now, what this tells us is, what this scripture is saying here, you be transformed. You don't allow the circumstances to conform you. You can get into a situation and because you're in a hostile environment and because everybody is so hostile and everybody is a certain way, then you learn to become like that. But what God wants you and me to know today is that you can be transformed out of that place. And there is something better for you, but it's not going to be you that does it. It's going to be God that does it for you. But here's the part that you play. You play the part because there is something in you that has to respond to God's dealings. When God speaks to you about a particular matter in your life, your responsibility is to start praying about that. All of us have things that the Lord wants to change. All of us. There's not a person here that is so much like Jesus that they can't get even more like Him. All right? And so what does that mean? He's perfect. The Lord Jesus Christ is perfect. So if He wants to create us in His image, then that means that the change is not going to be in Him. Because when you change something that is perfect, it is no longer perfect. The true definition of perfection is that it cannot be added to or taken away to make it better. It cannot be improved upon. So any change that you make to it, it is actually taken when you have the perfection, when you're dealing with the word perfection, any change that you make to it is actually taken away from it. Right? All right, so I'm going to read a few definitions of transform here. To give a different form to change the character of, to alter the nature of, convert. All right, now, how many of you have found it very easy to make adjustments in your own life? Do you know there are some adjustments that you can make that are easier than other adjustments, right? I want us to turn to James 1. I want to read one of these scriptures in this passage. 1 and 22. Let's read that. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. So what does that mean? That means when I hear the word of God, my responsibility is to do what it says. Is that always easy? When the Lord gives you a clarity and an understanding of what His desire is for you to do, is it easy for you to make the adjustment? Is it easy for you to transform yourself out of the situation and the circumstances? When you receive counsel from somebody, whatever that counsel may be, whether it's or instruction, maybe instruction from your boss, or instruction from the things of man or woman of God, is it easy for you to do it? But He says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Sometimes we hear the word, but we don't apply it. And we often say that this is not necessarily for me, but it's for somebody else. I'm not really like this. But it says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, all right? Deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in the glass. So it says here that if you're not a doer of the word and you're only a hearer of the word and you listen to it and it's a good word and I like it and all that, but I'm not doing it, what are you doing? You're deceiving your own self. Sometimes we feel like we're better off simply because we listened. But we don't really have to do, we don't have to implement the thing that we've heard. But here the scripture is saying you're deceiving yourself if you're doing that. He said, but be ye doers of the word. Where are we? Okay. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and he goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. All right, so in other words, he says, if you're not a doer of the word and you're a hearer only, you're like somebody that's looking in the mirror. And you know, all of us look in the mirror, and how we look this morning, we hope we still look like we did when our hair still is fixed the same way that it was when we looked at it in the morning. Now, I don't have to worry about that, but some of the women do. You get out in the wind and it gets sweaty and all this, and you look pretty good this morning, but then you need to look in the mirror every now and then, don't you? Because sometimes you're looking and you're thinking that everything is all right, and what? Sometimes out of courtesy, we don't say your hair is messed up. We don't say that you need to straighten this and that up because we don't want to embarrass you. But have you ever said, you know, I wish somebody had told me that I looked like this. I would have done something about it. But what you are thinking is that you look the same way as you did when you looked in the mirror this morning, right? And this is how some of us are in the spiritual matters. In the spiritual matters, we looked in the mirror and it looked pretty good. It was good enough. We knew that there were some adjustments that we needed to make. But the way that it is now, things are okay and I can live with the way that I look right now. But what happens is the circumstances of life, we get out there, the wind gets to blowing, the sun gets hot, and all these things, there are some adjustments, and you get sweaty, and there are some things that begin to change, and now you need to make some adjustments with the way that you look, spiritually speaking. And so if we're not careful, we'll think that we look all right, spiritually speaking, and because the last time that I read the Word of God, the last time that I took the care to actually delve into the Word and apply it to my life, then I looked okay then, but now there are some things that have changed. And the Lord wants you to make an adjustment in the way that you do things, in the way that you are, how you see things. The Lord is dealing with you to make those adjustments, and you're saying, you know what, Lord, I look all right, I'm okay. I don't need to make any changes. I don't need to make any adjustments. But let me tell you, every single one of us, one of the things that we do every day is look in the mirror. 99, and if you don't look in the mirror every day, you need to. Why? Because something changed from yesterday. There are some things, you went to sleep, you get up, you wash your face, you want to make sure you look presentable. In a spiritual sense, you have to look in the mirror every day. Because something happened yesterday, somebody said something that didn't set right with you. The winds blew in a different direction, things beamed down, the sun beamed down on you, and now things are a little different today than they were yesterday. I need to look in the mirror. I need to look in the mirror of God's Word and make certain, Lord, whatever adjustments I need to make today, I'm willing to make those adjustments today. Today is a different day than yesterday. Yes, I looked good yesterday. Yes, things were all right yesterday. Oh, I could get by, you might say. But today I can't get by. And so the same way that we do it in our natural sense, he says, if you don't be a doer of the word and you're a hearer only, you're like a man that looks in the mirror and then he forgets what kind of a man he was. He forgets what he looks like. And you know, sometimes we need to make certain that we reiterate, Lord, I want to see myself not just as you see me, but I want to see myself sometimes as my fellow men see me. And do you know how the Lord does that? Sometimes the Lord have you ever seen people that don't want to take pictures? It's because they don't like the way that they look. And I understand that. I ain't going to say what it is. But some folks just don't like to take pictures. And then some folks, if there's a camera up, they're going to gravitate into its frame. Because they like the way that they look. All right, what about where there's a mirror? Have you ever seen somebody? I've seen people. I know people like this. I can name names. If there's a mirror or a reflection in a glass, You see them walking by, and they may not know you're doing it, but you see them looking in the mirror, admiring what they see. You know people like that, don't you? But what about spiritually speaking? Can we look in the mirror every time we turn around, Lord, am I measuring up to your word? Do it look good from your standpoint? Do I need to make any changes or adjustments? Is my hair okay, Lord? Is the things that I'm doing and to my fellow man, are the things that I am concerned about, are they the things that you're concerned about? You're looking at yourself. You're making whatever adjustments, whatever changes that are necessary. You're making those changes because you want to look good for God. You want the Lord to commend you. You get a new dress or a new suit or something, and you look at yourself and you look pretty good in it, don't you? And what do? You want other folks to tell you that you look good too, don't you? Most of us do. There may be a few of us here that think, well, you know what, no, I'll just put this on and I really don't care how I look. Very few people are like that. Most people care how they look in a natural sense. But do you know what I've learned? I've learned that much fewer people care how they look in a spiritual sense. You look bad spiritually. And you don't even realize it, and you don't. Well, sometimes you do realize it, because what the Lord does is He takes a mirror and He holds it in front of you, because there are going to be some folks that you're going to come in contact with that are going to tell you what you look like. And you know what we tend to do when those people come in and they tell us, listen, look, take a good look at yourself. You don't look as good as you think you look, spiritually speaking. And they tell us that, and they tell us that this needs to be set right, and your hair is out of line, and your shirt needs to be tucked in, and a whole lot of other things about us. What do? In a natural sense, when those people say those things, we believe them, don't we? There's something in your teeth. And we start doing that, don't we? But when they do it in a spiritual sense, what do? And when we're dealing with things that are about our character, things that are not the best, most flattering things about us, and when someone, maybe someone that's close to us, maybe someone that's not so close to us, when they begin to show us things about ourselves, things about our character that we need to clean up, what do? Oh, I'm glad you told me that about myself. I didn't even realize it. Now I can work on it. Is that what most of us do? No. What do? We get defensive. And we decide in our mind that there's something wrong with the person with the mirror. There's something wrong. This can't be. Give me another mirror. Give me another mirror. The light's not right. You got those lights that folks put on their makeup in a certain light, depending on when you're going. You're going to dim the lights and this is where you're going to be. And some folks put on the wrong light thing when they put on their stuff. You got too much because that's the wrong light. You turned on the wrong shade. You need to turn it up. And when what I'm looking at don't look right. Well, we can't tell them that, can we? But if we do tell them that, they'll say it's not something wrong with me and what I've done and the adjustments that I've made and the change that I've made. It's something wrong with you. You got the problem. Lord, help us to be transformed. That's what the world does. The world looks at it and they determine that there's something wrong. There's, you know what? What really is wrong is the way that this Bible teaches. Because it requires me to change. And you know what I don't want to do? I don't want to change. I love me for who I am. Don't change for me. I don't want to change for you. That's not true. That's not true. Everybody needs to change. Everybody. I need to change. You need to change. There is no one here that is so perfect that you're just like Jesus, and there's nothing that the Lord wants to make an adjustment in your life. There's no one here like that. And so what the Lord does, He allows us to go through these. And I was explaining to someone I was counseling not too terribly long ago, and they were we were just visiting about some things. And one of the things that I explained to them is, and I've said it to us too, there's some things about all of us that we don't like ourselves. and that we wish that we could make that adjustment. Maybe, I don't know what, it could be something as simple as we're too impatient or too patient, procrastinate too much, and it seems like it's hard for us to get over that. We can't seem to do it. Let's go to another scripture. Seem like all those things about us, maybe we get angry too quickly. Let's go to Colossians 3, verse 7. We get angry too quickly, and there's some things that we're working on. You know why the Lord allows us to work on it? And it may be that it may take some time for us to work on that, is because some of the things that we struggle with, it makes us more compassionate for other people that are struggling. Because we see how difficult it is. We see how difficult it is. You know, I used to be much, and I explained it like this. You know, growing up, I was really skinny. And I just thought about people that were struggling with their weight. I thought, just stop eating. That's all you have to do. Just stop eating. It's not that big deal. I can eat when I want to eat. But, you know, after you get over 40 and over 50, you can't just stop eating. It's not so easy to talk about unless knock down 20 pounds. How did you creep up? I didn't gain 20 pounds overnight in two months. It took me a few years. And because what really has to adjust is my perception of food. And what has to change is the way that I look at it and maybe even the food that I eat. You know, I had some health problems, right? And I had to change the way that I ate. And you know what happened when I changed the way that I ate? I lost weight. But that wasn't the main thing that I was trying to do. I was trying to get my health, my blood pressure down. And you know what? It came down. But you know, and those of you that know, I've stopped eating meat. And you know what? A man, you're getting a man to stop eating meat? A man that was raised with a father that was a butcher? I eat fish. You didn't eat unless you ate meat. It wasn't a dinner unless you ate meat, right? Don't give me none of this tofu. Don't give me no macaroni and cheese in place of pork chops. I don't want that. But you know, when I learned that I was struggling and either I was going to end up with a stroke or you're going to have to do some changing, you know what? The thought came to me and I still, you know, had some big ham. They had some ham and they brought some ribs over to that. I said, I don't want no ribs in my refrigerator. I don't want no ham in my refrigerator. You know why? Because it's difficult. And you learn how hard it is to make the adjustment and to make the change in you. But you realize at some point, you know what? I got to do this in order to live. In order to be healthy. In order to be spiritually healthy, I'm going to have to refrain from some things. I'm not going to do these things anymore because they are not conducive to my spiritual life. And you know, I went from high blood pressure to something that's really low simply because I changed the way that I ate. I cut out sweets. You know, you want to make me happy, put butter, salt, and sugar in anything and make it taste good. It's true, isn't it? They say fat makes... Oh, y'all, I'm just preaching where I am. I am a person that loves something sweet and something salty. And something with butter on it. You get the pancakes and give me about a lot of butter and just put, I can't do that anymore. And you don't need to do it either. You need to just stop doing it now. Ask the Lord to help you to make the change. Now, so when you get older, you won't have the problem. McDonald's fries, just even before you taste them, just put a little salt on them. Ain't going to hurt nobody. And then get you some ketchup. Make sure they're hot. And it'll be just fine, won't it? But you can't do that anymore. You've got to make some changes. Why? Because the changes that you refuse to make will kill you. It'll be a slow death. You might be happy while you're eating, but at some point, you're going to have to make some adjustment. You're going to have to change in order for things to get your body to balance right. You're going to be transformed. We as African-Americans, we don't eat right. Maybe it goes all the way back and all that, and you can say all the reasons why, but we don't have an excuse now, do we? And if we're wanting the Lord and we're trusting the Lord for the healing of our bodies, that one of the things that we need to start preaching on is eating right. We're doing all these things wrong that we know we ain't supposed to do, dessert and all this, and our portions are too big. And all the things that we've got to change that, don't we? And we know we got high blood pressure and we're eating pork chops and bacon and don't that sound good? Short ribs. Yes, it sounds good, but you can't do it. None of you are going to trust the Lord for the healing of your body. Lord, help us. So we've got to make changes. And listen, and you don't want to do it if you don't trust the Lord for the healing of your body, because you know what they're going to say? It was really interesting. I found out I had high blood pressure when I went to the dentist. And the dentist, it was so high, I didn't know I was going to say all this, it was so high that the dentist wouldn't work on me. He said, you need to go and see a doctor. And see, I had no symptoms. I didn't feel sick. I didn't have any kind of symptoms in my body. I said, well, you know, go in and do it because I need this done. I'm getting ready to go on a trip. She said, I'm not going to work on it. I said, I'll sign some kind of waiver. She said, no, I'm not going to work on you. So you go and see a doctor. She said, he'll give you a little pill, and you just take a pill, and you can get your blood pressure down. Okay, so when I left there, I decided I didn't do much different. I didn't really start doing any different until I started feeling it in my body. I started feeling something's not quite right. And then it brought it to the point that I didn't need a little pill. I needed to watch what I ate. And what I like to do is, if it's a little on the salty side, I'm just telling on myself. If it's a little on the salty side, it's okay. I don't mind salty food. I don't mind really sweet food. But now I hardly can eat either one of them. And it's simply because you made an adjustment. You changed. You changed. You were transformed in the way that you thought about it, in the way that you see it, and you haven't touched those things. You don't eat sweets, and you don't eat the wrong kinds of meat. You know what? You can change. You know what my blood pressure went down to? It was like 130 and 140 something over 110. You know what it is now? Like 119 over 73. And you know the only thing that I changed is how I ate. I didn't go get that little pill from the doctor. I didn't throw that in my mouth. You know, a lot of the sicknesses that we have is not because the need is not for us to go to the doctor. The need is for us to look at what we're putting into this temple of God and seeing what we do with it. And when we make those kind of, we don't be conformed to the world is saying, well, ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. No, nothing is wrong with it per se, but it's killing you. All right, I didn't know I was going to preach on all that, but that's good. If you have health problems, it's because of what you eat. Change that, it'll change your health. All right? Now, I've never been that low. Anytime that I've checked it, it's never been that low, but that's where it is now. And that's about right, isn't it? Somebody said it's supposed to be 120 over 80. All right. And it's been even lower than that. So I thank the Lord for that. All right, let's go a little further here. Y'all still with me? All right. So what I'm saying is, and what I want to bring out is, it's not always easy. We're at the family reunion the other day, and you saw all of that. Somebody's barbecuing. You think I don't like barbecue? You think that that's easy for me to walk by and see these ribs laying out there and hot links and sausages, and you're not going to eat any of it? Of course you want to eat it, but you know what? You've made a change. And do you know what? It's the same way in spiritual matters. There are some things that the enemy wants to tempt us with, but you know, for the spiritual health, maybe it's not wrong. And folks want to say, well, the church teaches against this, and the church teaches against a whole lot of things that may not be wrong that you can do, but it's in your best interest not to do it. Because there is a principle behind it. Now, would it be wrong for me to, am I standing up here saying to you that it's wrong for us, for you to eat short ribs and pork chops and all that? Is it wrong? No, but I'm abstaining from it, and I've been abstaining from it for a few months, and as a result of it, it's made a drastic change in my well-being. And so what I'm saying to you, no, it may not be wrong, but listen, if the church teaches a certain way, there's a reason that it teaches that way. And you find out the reason, you find out the principle of it, and stop trying to make it wrong that this is what the church has done, and they've bound these things on me. Am I binding on you, not eating me? You got high blood pressure. You got a problem. Change it. Go take a little pill from the doctor. You suppose that pill is better than you changing the way that you eat? But what happens is, what we don't want to do, we don't want to deny ourselves. We don't want to die to ourselves. We don't want to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is our... We don't want to do that. So in order to lose weight, what do? We send out off and we get these little pills that are supposed to destroy all the fat that we eat. We can eat whatever we want to. And we have these testimonials that says, eat whatever you want, do whatever you want. Just take this little pill and it'll satisfy everything. It'll make everything right. That's how the world looks at it. That's what the world does. And if what happens, if we're not careful, we'll conform to that. We as people of God, we will begin to say, you know what, I just want you to pray for me. Come down at the altar. And what we need to say, what's wrong with you? Lord, help us. I'm just saying it because it happened to me. Well, are you eating right? Are you doing right? Are you getting enough exercise? Are you doing what you're supposed to do? Well, maybe you should go and do that and then come back for prayer. Lord, help us. Don't be conformed to the world. Well, our little pill is called... Listen, the Scripture tells us to do it. You're going to get sick. You're going to have a headache, and it may not have anything to do with what you're eating. And it may. I don't know. You're going to have issues, and it may not have anything to do with what you're eating. I don't know. But one of the things that we don't want to be conformed to, we don't want to say our pill is we can call the saints for prayer. And that remedies everything. Then I can do everything that I want to do. And the Lord may be requiring you to make some adjustments in your life. Some adjustments in your situation. And He may want you to get out of this environment and put yourself in another environment and you won't have the problem that you're having right now. Lord, help us change. Be transformed. Get out of the place that you're in right now and ask the Lord to help you to come to the place that He wants you to be. Does that make sense? All right. Colossians 3:7.
In the which
you walked some time.
When you lived in them.
But now ye also put off all these.
Anger.
Wrath. How easy it, a person that has a temper. You know some folks that have a temper? How easy is it for them to put off anger? Oh, just stop being angry. Is it that easy? You know, sometimes you're going to have to work on it, aren't you?
Yeah.
Sometimes you're going to have to fight. Sometimes you're going to have to say, Lord, I need to change. It's not what everybody is doing to me that's making me angry. The problem is that I get angry at almost anything. And the problem is that I can go from A to Z in 1.2 seconds. So He said, put it off. Change. It's not easy, but it's necessary. Your environment isn't going to change. People are not going to change. And you know what we try to do? We try to make them change so that we don't have to do it. In other words, we put the light on them so that the light won't go on, won't reflect the mirror. We put the mirror out for them to look at themselves so that we don't have to look at ourselves. Lord, help us. So it says, put it off. Anger.
Wrath.
Malice.
Blasphemy.
Filthy communication out of your mouth. Don't lie one to another. Seeing that you have done what? Put off the old man with his deeds. And you've put on a new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Now let me tell you, these things, folks that are like this, whoever, and some of us fall under these kinds of places. You're going up in the fifth verse, you won't read it, but it's talking about fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. Folks have problems, don't they? And we're around these people that have these problems. And we have to understand that these people are not just going to be able to take it off like a garment and throw it down. They're not going to be able to do that without God's help.
That's right.
Have you ever thought, there are some things sometimes, have you ever had somebody say, listen, I need you to help me put on an overcoat for men. It's the overcoat and somebody come and help me. Hard for you to get out of it? Have you ever, it's been hard and somebody just reaches up and they pull it down like this and then you're able to get out. We need the Lord to do that for us, don't we? Just like putting on it's not going to do us any good to take dirty clothes, to wash ourselves and then take dirty clothes and put them back on. That's not going to do any good, is it? So when you get saved, when you come to the Lord and you're asking the Lord, Lord, help me. I need you to take me through these things. What we need the Lord to help us to do is take off the old man and put on the new man. Lord, that is created in your image. I want to be like you. In this situation, Lord, help me to have the love that I need for this person that gets on my nerves. And let me tell you, y'all can say Brother Daryl's got, he's so spiritual, but folks get on my nerves from time to time. And I got to pray for myself. And I've got to say, Lord, I'm not going to be angry at what this person has done and I've got to talk to myself. I've got to go to the Lord and I've got to say, Lord, I refuse to be upset at what this person has done to me. Yes, it was wrong. No, I don't like what they did. But Lord, if you'll help me to make the adjustment in the way that I even process it, you allowed this to happen to me, and the reason you allowed it to happen to me is because there needed to be a change in me, not so much in them. Oh, yeah, they need to change. They need to make an adjustment. But Lord, I need to make an adjustment because it shouldn't have affected me like that. I see how much it affected me, and Lord, it's still affecting me. So if you'll give me the grace that I need, I'll go through this like I need to go through it. And what I find out, it doesn't matter once I get grace, it doesn't matter what that person does. I win either way. If they stop the behavior, I win. And if they don't stop the behavior and God gives me grace, I still win. It's a win-win situation. Saints, that's what we're talking about. That's the change that needs to happen. So not so much that we are working so hard to change the other person, but we're asking the Lord, Lord, I am. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And if we all got a hold of that, and we all endeavor to make the adjustment in our own lives, then our relationships would be a lot different. They'd be a lot better. All right. Let's go to Ephesians 4, verse 22. You put off concerning the former conversation the old man,
which is corrupt,
according to the deceitful lust.
Be renewed
in the spirit of your mind.
As
you put on the new man,
which after God is created in righteousness
and true holiness.
Putting away lying,
speak every man true with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. You know what? Did you see what that says? We're members one of another. And really, we are part of the humankind. We're members of the human race. We're members one of another. So you know what? When somebody does, if you're going to get somebody back, you know what? It's going to come back to you some kind of way. Let the Lord, vengeance is mine, I shall repay, saith the Lord. Do you know that there are some folks that are vindictive? And if you do them wrong, they are going to get you back. No matter what, leave that to the Lord. Because what happens is, you remember, when you hurt them, you're hurting yourself. When you're affecting them, because what happens, it all has to come back. It's in, you reap what you sow. So if you are vindictive and you're going to get vengeance on somebody else, trust me, you've done something to somebody and they're going to get you. Lord, help us. So that's something those are things that need to be adjusted in our lives. All right? Read. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. You know what I learned? I learned this, we've done it for 30 years. You know, I've got a good wife, and my wife has a good husband. If I can say that, okay. I can say that, can't I? All right. But you know what? One of the things that we were taught at the beginning of our marriage is to never go to bed upset at each other. With a disagreement between you. Never go to bed with a disagreement between you. So at some point you've got to ask forgiveness, and you've got to come to a point that you say, you know what, it really doesn't matter. We love each other and we're going to get through this. And so, you know, I give that to every person that I counsel in marriage. You get through it. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't go to bed upset. Get it worked through. If you've got to stay up to 3 o'clock, or if you don't go to bed, don't go to bed. But it said, don't let the sun go down. So whether you go to bed or not, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. So you have to deal with it. And so that may be a change. And you know what I found? I found that when you do that, these things, the Lord is able to settle these things.
All right, Lord, help us. Okay, read.
Neither give place to the devil.
Let him that stole steal no more.
But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good,
that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you were sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Do you know that there are going to come times that you're going to have to forgive people? There are going to be well-meaning people that are going to do you wrong. And do you know what? You can either hold it or you can change. You can say, you know what? I'm just going to let it go because it doesn't really matter to me anymore. Lord, it says, let all bitterness. You know, you can allow yourself to be bitter thinking about how folks have done you wrong over the years. There is not a soul in here that somebody hasn't done them wrong. Somebody has done you wrong, but you've got to change. You can't be conformed to the world where you're saying, I'm going to be embittered because this is what the world does. The world becomes embittered when somebody, you know, I ain't got nothing to say to them. Such and such. Don't even say anything to me about it. I don't even call their name in my presence. Have you ever heard somebody say that? It's because you're bitter. Lord, have mercy. You need to change. There is something about you that needs to change. That person is going on about their business. They don't care that you don't want to hear their name called. Bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. Is it easy for that to happen? Okay. Now I want to read another verse. Genesis 32. Moving toward our conclusion. 32 and 24.
Jacob was left alone.
Y'all know the story. Yes. Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man. A man that wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. He saw that he didn't prevail against him. This is the angel. Now, this is a man that it just says, a man that was wrestling with Jacob. Jacob understood and realized that something needs to change. Something has to be different than the way that it used to be. My brother is coming, and I need the Lord to bless me. I need the Lord to give me a blessing in my spirit and in my soul. Because my brother is coming to kill me. And this is Jacob and Esau. My brother is coming to destroy me, and I need something more than what I have. Have you ever been in a place like that? That you realize I need something more than what I've got?
Yeah.
And what I've got isn't good enough. And what did he say? He said he there wrestled with the man until the breaking of the day. That wasn't just, oh, you get down and you pray for maybe 10, 15 minutes if you have enough time before you go to work. That's not what it's talking about, isn't it? It's that everything else is just laid aside. I need to talk to the Lord. Lord, I need you to do something for me. I need a change. I need a change in me. I need there to be something that is different today than it was yesterday. All right? Read.
And when
he saw that he prevailed not against him,
he touched the hollow of his thigh,
and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him.
And he said,
let me go, for the day breaketh. He said, I will not let you go. The angel said, Jacob is saying, I will not let you go except you bless me. And he said unto him, what is your name? He said, my name is Jacob. He said, thy name shall be no more called Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. This man was determined to make a change. And when he was determined to make a change, and in my mind, I feel like he wrestled with an angel, but I feel like there was a reflection of Jacob there. Because I know an angel could have just pinned Jacob down in a heartbeat. But there was a man that was about his size and about his strength. The quality of strength was there. And these men were wrestling, and in my mind, and I don't think it's taking anything from the scripture, Jacob was wrestling with Jacob. Jacob was wrestling with the old man. Jacob was realizing, I've got to defeat who Jacob is. What this man has done, what he's done to me, I need a blessing from the Lord. And he brings him down, and he brings him down to a point that, Lord, I've got to do it no matter what it comes, how long it takes, no matter how much pain that there is, I've got to do this. And I want to read
the Amplified version of that, the man asked him, what is your name? And in shock of realization, whispering, he said, Jacob, supplanter, schemer, trickster, swindler. So Jacob knew what kind of a man he was. And he knew that there needed to be a change. And do you know what happened? When he got desperate for a change, he changed. So in the same way, when we get desperate, it's not going to happen with me just 5 or 10 minutes. It's not going to happen with me just taking a pill, so to speak. I'm putting that in quotations. I mean that in a, not in a literal sense. Well, I do it in a literal sense too. It's not just about me taking a little pill or having just a little remedy. It's about me dealing with me. Me allowing the Lord to transform me to what He, to His image, to what He wants me to be, and what I really ultimately want to be. May the Lord help us to be willing to change.